My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
All right, BT and Sal, back to it. It's 102 here on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is our number. Got you another hour. And then it's Evan and Tiki and the boys. Let's get back to you. A lot of Lindor, a lot of Yankees, even a little Carl Anthony Towns and Randall. I'm sure some of you have seen that float around social media a little bit. What do you got, Sal?
One quick thing, Hard Knocks last night. I haven't had a chance to fully watch the whole thing yet. I can't tell you. Now, it's not like we're learning a ton of things, and it is Giants have editorial control, but I can't tell you the feelings that I get, even just watching the beginning of it and the Giants jerseys or the Giants emblem, all those things. Like, it really does get you in the mood for football, and it's weird because usually you experience that in August.
Yep.
But, God, I'm so into it, and I do find it fascinating how many people put in the work behind the scenes. Like, we always talk about Shane and Dable and the players and Mara, but God, there are hundreds of people that are putting in the work as scouts during the combine. There's some just fascinating things too. They take you inside the room where the Giants are interviewing the quarterbacks during the combine.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
You're going to love it, dude. Hey, Dable's like, all right, draw me up this play. Like, stuff that you or I don't understand. Like,
we don't understand.
Hey, draw
that
up this play. Draw up the play. And these guys drawing up the play, some of them better than others. But fascinating. Again, everybody's hanging on the Barkley stuff. And that's going to be fun to see it play out on camera there on Hard Knocks. We all know how it played out in real life. But still, just watching it, BT, really gets me excited for football season. And in particular, Giants football season. I'm excited for the Giants this year.
You think Giant fans going to have a little Drake May envy here?
I think the Giants
seem to handle that grease board pretty well, I heard.
I think the Giants made a mistake. Now, they did show in the episode, like, Shane going over to New England, basically saying, hey, make sure if you do decide to do anything at number 3, before you do that, let me know.
Yep.
So it's not like he wasn't interested. There clearly was some interest there. And I don't know if it fell out because New England didn't want to trade or because the Giants didn't want to give up enough. I think the Giants are going to regret not taking a quarterback from this draft. Whether that's May and trading up for him, whether it's Penix, I think they're going to regret not taking a quarterback.
I mean, I don't think they'll regret it as much because I think Malik Nabers is going to be a superstar, and I said that the day after he was drafted. I understand what you mean about the urgency for the position. But again, the way the contract was structured, I mean, you don't want to just keep kicking this down the road, but it's not, as everybody knows by now, it's not punitive if they get rid of Jones after this year, which in all likelihood they probably will. Listen, you brought up the fact that the Giants have editorial control, and you asked me yesterday if I had an issue with that, and I didn't yesterday, and while I didn't see this episode yet, because I got back from the field with the kids late, and then I just caught up on the Yankees and stuff, and the Mets, I think that the fact that they were so open, you know, with the Pats and what they put out there for their at least desire to make a move for another quarterback shows you that, like, they're not so protective of Daniel Jones's feelings. Like, that was out there for public consumption. Daniel Jones is no dope. He's actually a really smart young man. So they don't really care that he might be a little wounded from his ego perspective. They put it out. They were interested in another quarterback, and it's out there.
Yeah.
So I give him credit for that.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know what to believe because the first episode and also the offseason moves showed you that the Giants are all in on Daniel Jones. And you're right by thinking about, okay, well, they were open to potentially trading up to get a quarterback, all the reports, and then you saw some of that play out yesterday in that episode, in episode two. But ultimately, to me, if Daniel Jones... See, this is where we're going to know. Let's say the Giants have a successful season similar to what they had 2 years ago.
So 9-ish or 10 wins,
whatever,
we're going to define success that way for the Giants right now?
Like not a division, not good enough to compete with the Eagles or Cowboys, get in the postseason, win a game, lose a game, whatever it may be.
Okay.
Lose the first round, whatever. Get in the postseason. That's a successful year for this Giants.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Let's say they do that.
Yeah.
What do they do with Daniel Jones?
Depends what their team looks like. What I don't know their identity yet. I think they very well might be a defensive team.
Like, is this...
I think they're bringing Burks.
Yeah, they should be. All right.
Between Dex and Kayvon Thibodeau and Burns.
I still need to see more from Thibodeau, to be honest.
I'm not saying Thibodeau's a star, but he's good. And he's impactful.
With Burns should help. But either way...
Burns is a beast.
Even if they are a defensive team, like, I still get the feeling, I guess this is the point, I still get the feeling that we're going to be in a wait and see what's around. Are there any better options? Nope. Let's go with Daniel Jones again. Like, I don't think it's as clear cut as this is the make or break year. Because especially if you have a halfway, like if he flops again.
Well, decision made.
Right.
Uh-huh.
If he throws for 35 touchdowns.
Decision made.
Correct.
Yep.
If he throws for 20.
Uh-huh.
Or fewer.
He threw for fewer that one big year, 15, I think it was.
And runs for some, and they have team success. I think it's going to be another, all right, well, we like them. We don't maybe love them, but what are the other options? And then maybe again.
But if that's the case, and I think that you're probably right, although I think if it's, let's just throw out, I think he had 8 rushing touchdowns a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So let's say it was like 15, let's give him 17 touchdowns, which is pedestrian. Yeah. I get it. Let's give him, 8 rushing is asking a bit much. He's got a reconstructed knee.
Yeah.
Not running for 8. So let's say he gives him... somehow 25 total touchdowns, even though 17 and 8 is 25. Mm-hmm. Let's say he throws for 20 and he runs for 5.
Whatever,
right? So a tick above pedestrian. And the Giants win 9 or 10 games. Maybe they're a playoff team, win or lose immaterial, but they're competitive. The defense is good. I think as long as it's not a great season or a horrendous one, to your point, I think that they're still going to be looking for their future quarterback in conventional and unconventional ways. They just might not be prepared to give up a ton of draft equity to get it.
Well, then how are they getting that?
Well, but I'm saying, unless they need to get it. Like, if he has a good season but not great, I think that in their own... I'm just guessing what they're thinking.
But that's what I'm saying by kicking
the can
down.
But that's okay, then.
Well, why?
If they're a playoff team and he gets you 25 touchdowns...
Why?
Isn't
a goal here to try to win a Super Bowl?
No, it is. No, I'm not saying that they're not looking to upgrade, but I'm not saying that they're desperate at that point. I'm sorry. I'm saying that they won't be desperate.
Right.
And smart teams usually do their best business when they're not desperate.
Right, but then that's, again, what I mean by kicking the can down the road. Like, both you and I agree, and I really do at my core believe that they believe Daniel Jones ain't it.
Me too.
So then because of, well, he's not the worst, because we maybe could win in this hypothetical, of course, make the playoffs, and because we can't get that, like they may have wanted May, they either didn't give up what it would have taken to get him, or they couldn't get him because New England didn't want to trade out. When are the Giants then going to be in that spot again? Like, if they halfway to make the playoffs, like, they're not going to be picking top of the league.
Yeah.
If they bottom out, then everything's easy because now you know it's not Daniel Jones and you're going to have a top pick. So you select your guy. But if they halfway it, which is very possible with this team, with that defense, with Daniel Jones, you're going to be stuck in QB purgatory.
Yeah, but again, I think you're also...
Like, can they win a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
No.
So we're wasting
certainly
time.
Certainly not with
here.
The roster. No.
Even if they had a better roster, I still don't think he's a guy that's ever going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably with
them.
You. Not probably.
So,
I'm with you.
So then we need to figure out what Shane and Dable can do with their own freaking quarterback.
Like,
is that too much to ask?
It's not, but you're leaving out one possibility. And I get it. It's almost like, well, all right, Tommy DeVito, by winning last year, instead of drafting second or third and then doing whatever you want, basically, all right, you got to maybe call the Pats, try to move up. It didn't work out. You stuck with Jones, and I'll put quotes around
in stuff. Hindsight, that does suck, because if they had the third pick, we'd be talking about Drake May.
100%. So that's why I even push back on, like, the meaningless Jet win against the Pats at the end. I'm like, no, I'd rather get the draft pick. And people think I'm nuts. And no, you never root for your team to lose. That's absolute, utter nonsense. Would it set you up to be better down the road?
Yeah, I disagree. We disagree with that.
We do. Immaterial of that, though. You're leaving out something important. You're leaving out the possibility of the Giants finding, like, identifying somebody in the middle of the first round and having Dable coach him up. Like, I know the most, at least in our eyes, the most conventional route is get somebody number one, number two, or number three, but it's littered with busts.
Yeah.
Zach was a bust. Darnold was a bust. Jones is a borderline, not a bust of that variety, but at number six, varying degrees of bustness, if you will. You know, for every Joe Burrow, there's,
yeah,
you
know,
there's a Jamarcus Russell, the Achilles Smiths. You know all the stiffs.
Yeah, I know.
So Josh Allen was seventh. Yeah, you don't have to be top three.
Understood, although in today's day and age with the NFL,
Lamar was 32nd.
Understood, but if you need a quarterback now, especially now, like each year that we go on, all these quarterbacks are going earlier, and like J.J. McCarthy should not have been a top.
But that doesn't mean they're all going to pop. Half of those teams are going to lament what they did.
Understood, but my point is to get a, like J.J. McCarthy at best should have been a mid to late first rounder. But the Vikings took him at number 10.
Mm-hmm.
There was speculation about a quarterback team like the Giants, a quarterback needy team, taking him even earlier than that, even though he doesn't scream first round, no doubt about it, talent or top three. These quarterbacks go earlier and earlier and earlier.
Yep.
And generally the teams that are picking atop the draft don't need, do need a quarterback, which is another reason why. So it's a hard thing. Yes, you're right. And then by the way, why wouldn't they do that this year then? Giants need the quarterback on the roster. Why wouldn't they find somebody in the middle rounds and take a quarterback?
Yeah, maybe they didn't like anybody.
How many years are we going to watch Joe Shane and Brian Dable before we get their own quarterback in here?
Well, it's a big year for him. I still think it's a big year for him, though. I do. I think it's a
right,
big
but
year
if
for him.
If they both flop, if the Giants flop,
yep,
they're not going to fire Shane and Dable, and nor should they, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see them get their own freaking guy in here. Generally, that's how you're judged as a general manager, as a head coach, who you draft at quarterback and who you develop at quarterback. So you're right. You can find guys later in the draft. Absolutely. But, I mean, my goodness, we're going into year four. Can we, you know, projecting moving forward here?
Well, think about this, though. And I'm just punching up the standings, so I'm looking at all the teams. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, I know what you mean. That, like, in years past, maybe you could get somebody at 15, but now the urgency, you got to find the quarterback.
Yeah.
So now that 15th pick gets elevated to number six without justification,
now
blah, blah, blah.
Would never, and I'm not talking about post-career. I'm talking about if that same draft played out now, there's no
going
way.
10th?
Yeah. Right, yeah. At worst.
Yeah, like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. All right, but I think that a lot of these teams have their quarterbacks. So I'm not saying all of them do. Like, the Bills have their quarterback. I think, I don't love Tua, but.
Well, they do, probably.
Yeah, they probably do. The Patriots.
The Ravens now is there. You know, the Jets don't. Kick it.
The Jets don't. The Ravens do.
Who's
the
Cleveland?
The Cleveland right
now. Who is Cleveland's quarterback?
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I don't know if
that's why we forgot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean.
Yep. The Steelers don't. I know they're trying to get a little magic from Russ and do what they're doing there.
Texans
the Bengals do. The Jaguars. Texans do. The Jaguars do. The Colts don't with Richardson. The Titans, I don't think the Titans do. The Chiefs do.
There's enough quarterback needy teams, though.
The Chargers do. Dallas with Dak, that's interesting.
And by the way,
some
of
the Eagles
these...
do. The Commanders should. They just draft the one. The Lions do. The Packers do. The Vikings might. The Bears, no. I mean, I guess it's a little bit of a mixed bag.
Well, the Bears
here.
Now with Williams.
Caleb Williams, they should.
Yeah, right. But you also don't know. Like, let's just say the Vikings, who took McCarthy, you know, number 10 or whatever it was in the first round.
Yep.
Let's say he gets exposed when he plays this year. And they bottom out and they have another top pick and there's a can't miss. Like, you don't know.
I know you don't know.
These teams can take a quarterback at any time and they're so valuable. You got Atlanta, who's been getting ripped left and right, where they sign Kirk Cousins. They take panics because they are thinking, along with me, saying, we're probably not going to be picking in this spot. We hope not anytime soon. With their loaded roster and Kirk Cousins, they're not going to be in the top. You wouldn't think they'd be. So they have a quarterback there. It's a great value. You take them.
I like what they did. I liked it the day they did it.
Me too. It's
forward
unconventional.
Thinking.
Yeah, it is forward thinking. Get the quarterback down. Let him sit a year or two.
Yeah.
But we don't have to worry about drafting one or getting one or figuring out a way to get it. Like the Giants are going to have to now.
Yeah, no, I understood. I do hear you. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, back to you. How about Noah right here in Manhattan on the Fan? What up, Noah? How you doing today?
Good. How's it going? How are you?
What's up, Noah?
Okay. So I want to talk about Lindor, specifically to BP. You act like he's been bad or like he hasn't been that great. I'm going to read you a list of the total number of players that have been more valuable than him since 2022. Here's the entire
list. I have a question. I have a question for you. Is this based on your interpretation? Is this subjective, objective?
Based
what?
On war.
But based on what?
Wins above replacement.
Almighty. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, okay, you can make fun. This is how all the teams evaluate players, right? Okay. Aaron Judge.
Yep.
Freddie Freeman.
Yep.
Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. I know.
End of list.
Yeah, no. So he's the sixth best player in baseball. My bad. I've had it wrong for three, 4 years. I'm sorry.
Here's
I apologize.
The issue.
There you go.
There you go. You finally got it.
Don't cut me off yet. Don't cut me off yet.
I'm not.
The issue is, you're right. He's not the best offensive player.
Okay.
But he's an elite defender. Like you were saying, he can kind of pick it. He's been the third best shortstop. Defensively.
He's a great shortstop.
He's a great base runner.
Little gold gloves to back that up, but yeah, with the Mets. But yeah, he's good. I love watching him play short.
Yeah, no, Dansby Swanson's a better shortstop, but like second best in the National League. Like, so the thing is, he's an all-around player. Like,
I know.
Comparing him to like a DH, comparing him to, you know, someone who can't field like Alonso, for example.
Let me stop you for 1 sec. I'm not comparing him to Alonso. Really, the gist of this has been me comparing him, thanks for the call, bud, to who he was with the Guardians.
A caller brought up Alonzo before. That's maybe what he heard that from. A caller brought up Alonzo.
Listen, I appreciate you leaning on some numbers, too. I mean, but, and you want me to name the 50 guys in Major League Baseball, literally, because he's 51, that have a higher OPS so far just this season? No, I won't waste your time. We can all lean on numbers that kind of support what we've said for a while.
I can't get into the war.
No, I don't. I reference OPS. Yeah. Spin rate's interesting to me when you're judging a pitcher. Usage rate in terms of what percentage you throw certain pitches. Well, all that stuff is it matters to me. Opponent's batting average, exit velo. Yeah, for sure. Even expected batting average. But I mean, war.
Look, I just don't look at the numbers in general to evaluate a play. Now, I know that they mean something, obviously, and at certain benchmarks or certain points of the season, you're going to look at certain numbers, certain things, but overall, I can't get caught up in even the OPS being the BO. You know, here's the difference too, BT. You could look at the numbers all you want, but obviously his numbers are going to be down because of his awful start to the year. But that doesn't mean anything right now if he continues playing the way he's playing the rest of the season.
Correct.
So then why would I look at the numbers overall, where I'd rather look at, okay, well, since you've been on fire here and the leadoff spot is hitting 300, he's been a 300 hitter, and you could tell by watching him that he's been an impactful player, both defensively and offensively. The power's been there from both sides. He's driving in runs. He's coming up with clutch, impactful hits, hitting for a high average, getting on base, stealing base, playing good defense. I don't need war, whatever the hell that means. Oh, wins above replacement. I don't care. His replacement's not here. He's here. So I'm not worried about who I could get. I'm worried about him. If he's doing well enough, you don't have to worry about the replacement. So why am I worried about wins over above replacement if this guy here is doing what he should be doing?
I hear you. Chris is in San Diego. He's got us up on the free Odyssey app. By the way, if you guys missed anything, just check it out. Hit rewind. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Chris.
I want to kind of suggest something. Is this stretch the Yankees going through, and I'm a big Yankee fan,
yep,
is it more like a market correction? They were predicted to be getting a series to be second, third in the AL, depending on competition, and they were supposed to limp into the playoffs. Are they just riding their ship? And everybody's kind of pointing the fingers at Boone, pointing the fingers at Cashman, and I don't like Boone at all.
Yeah.
But it's kind of seems like it goes a little bit higher the chain. Like,
yeah, it does.
Cashman's the face. Boone is on the TV. But Randy Levine is kind of the guy who really bridges the gap between Cashman and Hale.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the bigger issue has been Cashman. I know what you mean about, I'm not saying that Randy Levine is blameless or with certain things, maybe Hal should absorb more blame. And thanks for the call there, Chris. You said you're not a Boone fan. You can't stand him. I actually really like, I appreciate Aaron Boone. I think he's a good baseball guy, good baseball man. And I've supported him over the years. But when your team doesn't play hard, I can't defend you. And I will not. I will not defend an absence and an erosion of fundamentals and inspire play and just continue to blindly defend somebody because at that point he doesn't earn it. He doesn't deserve it anymore. I think that, is it a market correction? That's how you started the call. Listen, we can got to split this six or seven different ways. The bottom line for me is the lineup stinks. There's seven automatic outs, and that's all there is to it.
I think it could be a market correction in the starting pitching because that was above, you know, what anybody expected. And that was, you know, without Gerrit Cole, they were pitching like the best staff in Major League Baseball, which, okay, that's going to come back down to earth. But you get Gerrit Cole back, maybe it levels off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Cole has not been what we had hoped he would be, and everything else has come crashing down for the most part. So that may be the market correction. Overall, there's no way that the Yankee team that we saw play the first month and a half or 2 months should ever look like what we've seen for the last month. Like, there's no way. 2 week stretch, bad.
Yeah.
Losing some series, fine. You know, you lose a couple, win one. Lose a couple more, win. All right, bad prolonged stretch happens to the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
This, where they went from being one of the best, if not the best, to the literal worst.
Yeah.
That's not market correction.
Well, I agree with that. You just said, you know, the Yankees shouldn't look like this. I got news for you. I don't think any major league team should look like this. That's the problem. You know, not getting down the few times you called the bunt, kicking the ball in the outfield, not knowing how many outs there are, guys loafing around. I mean, that is not emblematic of Major League Baseball. It's one thing to have a massive payroll disparity and have, say, a bunch of young kids on the A's or the Rockies or some of these other teams that are taking lumps, right? But that's or the Marlins. That's understandable. There's going to be a massive disparity in terms of performance because you've got established stars on the teams with high payrolls, and you've got young ascending players who are trying to figure things out at the Major League level. And baseball's hard, man. It's real hard. But to not run, to not play hard, now that's nobody should look like that.
If you've watched this team since June 15th, and then you take a look at the standings for the first time,
I would think Stump Merrill's in the dugout. And for Yankee fans who are old enough, you know what that means.
It's funny you say his name. Terry Collins brought him up yesterday.
Why?
Nowhere. He was talking about...
Is he making fun of the early 90s? Well,
no,
why?
No, he was playing golf with him at one point down there when they were managing.
He's teed it up with Stump?
Yeah, I was like, oh, Stumpy! So it's funny that you mentioned that name. But if you watch this team play since June 15th and then look at the standings, you would think that something's wrong with your computer or your phone where you're looking at the standings. They are 17 games. This New York Yankee team is 17 games over 500. That's impossible to believe after the way that they have played since June 15th, which is almost a full month.
Can't dispute it.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's call of the day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. How about Joe in Westchester? Joe, what do you got?
All right, I want to talk about Pete Alonso. The Mets need to get rid of him. Just cut him. He's awful.
Oh, God. Joe, hold on.
He's batting 230. That's a good year.
Joe.
What did he do last year? He batted 217 last year.
Joe, hold on a sec, Joe. I got you. I love the passion, but I got to recognize you. It's I do this on occasion, not often. You got to really earn this. You've earned an award. Dumbest call in a month. Maybe in a year. Cut him. That's one thing to call up Alonso and complain. Hey, he's not worth resigning. Hey, he's a one-trick pony. Hey, he only hits home runs and not enough of them this year. To say to cut him is the dumbest thing that's been said on the station maybe in a year.
Not so. You watch him anytime he comes up with men on base. He'll come up with men on base, no outs, bases loaded.
Yep.
All we need is contact, hit a fly ball, strikeout, throw him two sliders in the dirt, and he swings at it out.
I'm more with you, Joe.
Wow. But cut him?
No, here's the difference.
Thank you, Joe.
I'm not foolish.
Enjoy the award.
I'm not foolish. I would not cut him.
Trade him. All right, there you go. One of the many things we've been hitting here today. Joe, we're just having a little fun with you here. Understand we could always sometimes take it a step too far. Some of us in this room have a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
Sal?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You said it was the dumbest call of the year. What'd you say? The month?
It's up there.
Yeah.
And let's face it, cutting him when you say, I know he was just saying that, you know, a little hyperbolic there. But, yeah, saying to cut your cleanup man is you know, grounds for getting the dumbest call of the month award,
right.
If not year.
He could have punched back if he really wanted
with
to. Is it dumber than saying Lindor should be an exclusive right-handed hitter?
That's funny. Yeah, it's funny.
Come on, Joe, get with it.
Yeah, Joe, door's open. You missed. 888-808-1019. Let me get. How about Tommy in Milford, Connecticut, juggling those Yanks as well, who just look like a train wreck. What up there, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Tom.
Listen, Cashman's got to go. I mean, look at what they did with Bader. They just let him go. They didn't get nothing. They could use him now. And then why is Booty makes the lineup every day? Why is he playing Trent Grissom out in center field? Judge does not perform well when he's the DH. And Cabrera should be in the lineup every day. He's a switch hitter. When he was in the lineup at the beginning of the year, he was batting over 300. This poor guy's pulling splinters out of his butt, sitting on the bench. Grissom should not be playing, and Boone should not be managing. There's no defending Boone. I know you like him, but how could you defend him?
Well, it's not his fault.
Hit the lineup.
Yeah, how could you blame Aaron Boone for this? I'm not saying he's absolved from all the blame. We had this discussion earlier in the week, BT. How could you look at this lineup and blame Aaron Boone? They got nobody. Why are you playing Grissom in center? There's nobody else. What do you want to do right now? How are you supposed to work? You know, work the Yankee lineup without Stanton, without Dominguez being healthy down there. I mean, he's limited.
I know. But that's why there's so many different parts of the conversation, how they're built and how the lineup is then structured and manipulation of the bullpen. You know, to me, I think the greatest indictment on the Yankees, now Ben Rice might be in the early stages of defying this, right? Hopefully. And then obviously Dominguez has to prove that last year's 7-game sample is real. And he might. But for too long, like the Yankees player development, more from an offensive perspective, has been wretched. I know Aaron Judge is all time, right? But think about everybody else that comes up. They stink. Or they regress. Or they just, they're gone. Like, what was the kid's name? Oh, God, he played a little. Was it Florio?
Yeah, Esteban Florio.
Yeah, but somebody else too. Like they had a couple of kids.
Andujar?
No, not Andujar. An outfielder. Although Andujar did move a little bit to left field, but mostly outfielders that have come up over the last couple of years. I get a little look here. Oh wow, he's hitting 160. I'll send him back to the minors. Like there's been so many players that when they've been given a chance here, they fail. Now it's not like they go elsewhere and flourish for the most part. So it's not like the Yankees missed the mark there. They're either drafting the wrong guys. Or just failing to properly develop them. Because every time somebody gets a chance, they all stink for the most part.
And the guys that they do bring in aren't doing the job either. I mean, look at LeMahieu. And they brought him in initially, did a great job. But now that's a bad contract.
Yep.
Giancarlo Stanton, say what you will about his production early on in the season, and he was an important part of it, but you knew he was going to get hurt. They knew he was going to get hurt. So that's a part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Rodon. I mean, we go on. I think we're overlooking how bad the starting pitching has been because the lineup has been so bad, and that's the focal point. But the starting pitching has been – without the starting pitching turning around, they have no shot anyway. And why would you believe that that's going to get turned around? With the way Rodon's going, how could you trust him? Cole, I could see. I can't trust Luis Hill anymore, and he's been a big part of it. Even though he had a good outing his last time out, we don't know what the innings limit. Like, that's a real thing where he pitched, 27 innings, whatever it is, the last 2 years, already approaching 100 innings.
I'm worried about Cole.
Yeah, and if
I'm actually, I know that you just said I'm actually worried about
Cole. Well, if you're worried about Cole, who do you trust? Stroman will be all right for what he
is. Yeah, and Cortez at home is fine.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, is that enough to get you to a World Series? So not only do the Yankees need three pieces in their lineup right now, And maybe you could say, well, they could add two via the trade deadline and hope to get one back at least with Giancarlo or Dominguez.
Yep.
So then you could piece that together. But they need at least an arm, maybe two, in the rotation, and they need a bullpen. Their bullpen stinks.
You got Clark Schmidt coming back. He's good.
Okay.
Provided he's getting a little bit of offense, Clark Schmidt's fine.
All right. Give me your postseason rotation.
I thought it was going to be Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, 1-2. And then number three was either Stroman to me, or if it was lefty laden, maybe Rodon if he was still pitching. Well, this is an early conversation
I had. Well, right now.
Right now?
I mean, it's still Cole Hill
for the
moment.
I still give Gerrit Cole the ball symbolically, but I don't expect much right now. And, you know, Luis Gil, I know last outing was very encouraging, but I don't really know who he is right now. I don't know. I don't have an answer for it.
That's my point. So how do you fix that?
I don't know that you do.
And then let's just have a conversation about the bullpen. Your best reliever is who?
Well, it's probably your closer.
Right. Do you trust him?
Not fully.
Okay, so even your best reliever, who's an all-star, we're talking about getting to a World Series for the first time since 2009.
No.
It's just a reality. They were built to go to the World Series. They're held to a higher standard. Even their best reliever, and they need more relievers, but even their best is going to have question marks. So let's just say the Yankees added two guys who weren't closers, although that's what they really need to do, add a closer, move Holmes down, then you'd be okay. But let's say they added two, you know, seventh, eighth inning guys. Does that do enough for you? It doesn't for me. I mean,
not if the offense doesn't wake up.
That's a whole
I mean, that's the problem. Like, when you need one thing, okay, it's number one, it's easier to just tap into the trade market because you can focus on what you need. They got to focus on everything.
That's my point about, I don't know how you repair this. I don't think it can be repaired.
I mean, there's always a way. With Soto and Judge 2 and 3 and Cole in theory, I can't fully abandon hope, but it's no longer blind faith. I've said that.
Yeah.
This thing's busted up.
Right.
And they've got to earn, I think, the trust of the Yankee fan back.
Furthermore, BT, even if they played well from now on out, they turn it on, they win this series, they take 2 of 3 from Baltimore, they go into the postseason as the top wild card, I still don't believe in them until I've been fooled once. I'm not getting fooled again by this group.
Yeah, it's funny. I try to separate each season. Like, you know, even if they were like the second wild card and like they drop and like, oh, they don't win the division. Oh, they're not the first wild card. Nobody's going to be enthralled with that. But like if Gerrit Cole is on a 2-month heater, mm-hmm. and he looks dominant and Heel, they navigate the limits and, you know, Heel's dealing and he looks like he's sharp. I'd probably put the Yankees up against anybody, at least in the American League, to get out of it, even though I think Baltimore's more dynamic and has better players, more better position players. But I do think they're going to make a trade in terms of they're going to get a hitter or two in here. And I don't just mean a little, you know, C-minus player. I think they're going to do something big. I think they have to. Yeah. It is definitely hot outside. It is hot.
It's freezing in here, actually.
It's nice. A little hot-blooded, too. Good jam. Sal doesn't like this old rock stuff.
I mean, it's whatever. Huh. I've heard it a million times. Does nothing for me.
I can tell.
I'm excited for the Eminem album coming out this week, I believe Friday,
mistaken. Coming out? I thought it came out like
the
a month ago.
The single.
Oh, so they dropped the single, now they're going to drop the rest of them.
I thought it was supposed to be the end of July, but I believe it is now July 12th, the entire album. What is it? The death of, is that right? The 12th that's coming out?
Yep, the death of Slim Shady. Coup de grace.
Yeah. The death.
You going to get it?
Oh, 100%. Well, I have Apple Music, so I'm assuming it's a part of Apple Music.
I'm sure. You know what's crazy?
I'd actually like to buy a hard copy of that one, though.
I wonder what the album cover is going to look like. Or the cover artwork. Of the CD,
do they even
whatever.
Sell CDs anymore? Seriously.
I don't know. They have to.
They do? For
they
what?
They have to.
All right. Let's say that they do sell
CDs.
They
still sell records in some stores, like vintage record stores.
Yeah, but that's a vintage shop.
Yeah, but they still sell them.
All right, but I'm talking about like a new CD. Like,
they have to.
Yeah, I remember going to like Nobody Beats the Wiz back in the day. You'd have the release dates. I couldn't wait to do it.
Me too.
But if I did buy this CD, I'd only be buying it to keep the CD because where the hell am I playing it? Do you own a CD player? Like, does your car even have one?
Wow, that's a really good... My car definitely does not.
Right, mine either, I don't think.
Definitely does not. Where would I even play it?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't know.
So they probably don't sell CDs anymore, do they?
Because they have to.
Why do they have to?
Just because we don't have one doesn't mean that some others don't have them.
The majority of people, I would say, listen to their music.
Yeah, no, I know.
Which is a pain, by the way, because even my mother, who does not, like... She's not downloading iTunes.
Yeah, no,
so she's like, oh, Sal, do you have that OMG song? And I do. I know. She's asking me. So I sent her a link to YouTube so she could. But like normally I just go buy her the CD or give her a CD. She could play it in her car and play it at home.
She wants the OMG song. Yeah. That's great. That is awesome.
I sent her the YouTube link. Like, what are you supposed to do nowadays?
That's a good question. But listen, so Eminem's dropping his thing. Even movies, like, I couldn't tell you when anything comes out.
Yeah.
Like, I just find my way to it at this point.
Right.
Like, this movie's coming out on the 4th of July. Like, we were growing up, it was about the summer spectaculars.
Big deal.
Even going back to Jaws.
Right.
And then, obviously, way beyond that, like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark or Star Wars. Like, there would always that Independence Day, I'm just jumping genres. Yeah.
The build up to the,
I have no idea.
Right. Is that just because we're older and we don't pay attention to it, or are there no good movies coming out?
We're not young. I'm not saying that we're young. But I think, it's funny, I heard Evan and Tiki talking about this, and I agree with Evan on this point. Like, I have had a renewed interest in going to the movie theaters because of my kids.
Oh, God, I love going to the
movies. I love it. I love it. I love it. The popcorn, the chairs that recline, like, I really enjoy it. And I even enjoy the movie trailers as they, of course, they run through, like, in seven of them incessantly. Just give me two or three of them. But, yeah. And automatically, I'm like, I don't care about this one. It's not my genre. It's not my type. Yeah, this one's useless. But, oh, that one might be interesting, right? So, but if I didn't go to the theater, I wouldn't see any of those.
Yeah,
I don't see those on TV.
I guess you're right. And by the way, even with, like, I'm out of it now because my daughter's at an age where we can't take her to a movie. She's three, but
you can take her at three. Yeah, I mean, it's pushing it a little bit.
She doesn't want to watch. She doesn't want to watch anything prolonged. And by the way, if we do take her to the movies, it's got to be something that she's interested in.
So 100%. Yeah.
My point is, my wife and I, we used to go to the movies all the time.
Yeah.
But for the last 3 years, we really don't, unless my mother was babysitting. Like, so we're just kind of out of it. But man, I loved going to the movies.
You're
going to
find your way back in. She's only three. She gets older. You're going to start going again.
Yeah, but then when we do go, it's going to be for her.
Yeah.
I know, but we need to really get her to a point where, like, we can leave her at home alone. What's that, like six? Five, six?
We can leave her at home alone. Yeah, so you're 2 weeks away from it, buddy. You know, that's a good question. I don't know what the age is. I know some people in our town, like, and they have older children where they have left their 9 or 10 year old at home for like 30 minutes if they have to run to the store, depending upon the maturity of the kid. I don't think I would do that yet.
So you guys still haven't done that yet?
No.
Okay. Yeah,
no, even he's sense. 9 and definitely not
what
my daughter who's
what
7.
What about babysitter?
Oh, yeah, we have babysitters all the time.
At what age did you start with the babysitter?
Let's see. And it was always people that we knew, like daughters
but
of.
Still, I mean.
Let's see. We did it. I think we did it once or twice when he was about not 18 months. That's ridiculous. Like two, just so we can go to get a meal, just get out for an hour.
Right.
But yeah, we started doing it fairly regularly when they were 3 and 2 years old.
Okay. We're.
His cameras everywhere, obviously.
Yeah. We're reluctant to take that leap. We've had, when I was on the island, we had my mother there.
Yep.
Or my sister or whatever. But now we're kind of on an island by ourselves here, or actually off the island, but in Jersey. And I don't like the idea of a babysitter. My wife is not there yet.
Okay, I understand. Well, it's your first one, and she's still young.
Yeah, so we got to be.
I was a little. Yeah. Can I actually tell you what happened the first time that we actually got our babysitter? I'll never forget this. We're at a restaurant. We're a mile down the road. We're in West New York.
So you didn't even go that far.
No, we just all she was doing was breastfeeding and bottles and pumps. And
needed to get the hell out.
I had to get out. There's an apartment. I just want to go have a nice scotch, have a nice steak, sit down.
Yeah.
Let my wife get dressed up. She's earned it, right? Let daddy get out of the house for a little bit. We are there 20 minutes, Sal. And we're on our phone, and we have Ring everywhere.
Yeah, ready to go.
Of course. Right. And we're like, oh, look at him. Look at a little cold in the crib, right? And he was about 18, but he was only about a year. This is the first time we did it. He somehow crawls out of the crib.
Oh, God.
Right? But this was legitimately terrifying. What happened was the way our Ring was fixed and situated on the crib, you couldn't quite see the rug or the floor.
Yeah.
You could only see the crib.
Right.
So, like Bam Bam from the Flintstones, he does a flip.
Oh, my
God. We see him land on his head in the restaurant while we're actually having a drink.
What'd you do?
Jen called babysitter right away. Check. Gotta go. I was out 27 minutes.
Oh.
Went right home. Now, the end of the video, which we didn't even really watch because my wife smartly just picked up the phone right away and we're leaving. he actually got right up and he walked out. And because, yeah, he was walking at this point. So I think it was about 18 months. Okay. Like, he just opened the door and he walked out.
Can you imagine? No, but that's
terrifying.
Yeah, now obviously my daughter's a little bit older, but still.
I get it, the reluctance. I do. Yeah. I do understand that it's got to be somebody you know.
100%.
Yeah. You know, it is tricky. And it's, by the way, it's not cheap. That's the other thing. Yeah. It's a racket.
I'm hoping to maybe, you know, hey, I'll give you a case of Surfside or something.
To a 12-year-old, you know, neighbor's daughter. Yeah. Come on,
I guess
dude.
I can't do that. That Surfside. Would be bad. Yeah, well,
it's like 20 bucks an hour. 20, 25 bucks an hour.
Maybe a family member. You know what I mean? Like, or a friend.
Dude.
Yeah, my wife's got friends. Put them to use for something.
Well, that's true. Yeah, for something except getting in her ear and talking negative about you. I know. Like, when I was graduating, again, a million years ago, but like my first job, I think I got like $2.50 an hour selling newspapers over the phone. Like, a little local newspaper, or dropping off news, or cleaning off obviously the Rolling Roaster stuff. These kids are making 25 bucks an hour sometimes babysitting.
I know, it's ridiculous.
And you're gone 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going out to dinner, you know, especially since they're a little old now and they can kind of watch themselves a little, you don't want to come home in 2 hours. So you say you have dinner at 8, you come home at maybe
midnight, 12:30.
It's 100 bucks, not to mention dinner's a couple of hundred. Yeah. Like, let's just get a room in the city, call it a wrap. For myself.
Now you're
go hide for a little bit. All right, Sally boy. Good show today, man.
All right, BT.
We will see you guys tomorrow. All right. If we didn't get to your calls, I do apologize for that. We had so many. We took a ton. Lindor was great. Good reaction there. No apology, but good reaction. And also the mess that is the 2024, at least this version of the New York Yankees. So we'll see what happens tonight. We'll get you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Enjoy Evan and Tiki coming up next. We gots to go. Bye-bye. We'll see you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.